I would invite you to turn to 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings chapter 5. We're going to look at verses 1 through 19, and we're going to consider the idea of worship once again, but in this case, worship from a man who was a pagan who became a worshiper of Yahweh. This man's name was Naaman, and we read about him in verse 1. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, "Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." And one went in and told his Lord, saying, "Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel." And the king of Syria said, "Go to, go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel." And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, "Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy." And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he had rent his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me." And it was so, when Elisha the man of God had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, "Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot, and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, "Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean." But Naaman was wroth, and went away, and said, "Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me, and stand, and call on the name of the Lord his God, and strike his hand over the place, and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, "My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he saith to thee, 'Wash and be clean'?" Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him. And he said, "Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth, but in Israel. Now therefore, I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant." But he said, "As the Lord liveth before whom I stand, I will receive none." And he urged him to take it, but he refused. And Naaman said, "Shall there not then, I pray thee, be given to thy servant 2 mules burden of earth? For thy servant will henceforth offer neither burnt offering nor sacrifice unto other gods, but unto the Lord. In this thing the Lord pardon thy servant, that when my master goeth into the house of Rimmon to worship there, and he leaneth on my hand, and I bow myself in the house of Rimmon, when I bow down myself in the house of Rimmon, the Lord pardon thy servant in this thing." And he said unto him, "Go in peace." So he departed from him a little way. Father, please guide us this afternoon as we look at this text, and as we consider this theme of worshiping once again, the worship of the Lord from a man who was a pagan and who worshiped his own gods, but eventually became a worshiper of Yahweh. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This text before us, 2 Kings chapter 5, describes for us a man who was an enemy of the Jews. It's quite fascinating, actually, because this man, it tells us, he had gone into Israel on one of his raids, and he had stolen away a young Hebrew slave girl and taken her back to his own land, and she lived with Naaman and his wife. This would have been a terrible thing for this Hebrew slave girl. No doubt her family were all murdered back in Israel, is probably the implication, and she was stolen away by this ferocious leader of Syria who was well known among his people and greatly honored by the king. Worship of God, again, is the ultimate goal. And here we see in 2 Kings chapter 5 how Naaman, who originally was not a worshiper of God, became a worshiper of the true God. And we see specific means that God used in his life to bring him to the point where he would worship the one true God. First of all, I want us to notice that God used unusual circumstances to lead Naaman to worship him. In verse 1, Naaman, yes, he was a great leader, and yes, he was well honored by the king, but it said he was a leper. Everything that was said about him before is now null and void because he was a leper. You see, God used this disease to bring Naaman to a point where he would eventually become a worshiper of God, because God used the slave girl that he stole away from the land of Israel. He used this little slave girl to be a blessing to Naaman and ask Naaman to go into Israel and request the prophet to heal him. A letter is sent by Naaman, by the king actually, on behalf of Naaman, sent to the king of Israel, declaring that the king of Syria requests that Naaman, his servant, be healed. You see, God used all of these circumstances in Naaman's life to bring him, in fact, to the land of Israel, where he could truly be healed. You know, the fact that God used unusual circumstances in Naaman's life, the life of an unbeliever, is not something unusual. God did this for other kings as well. Another way or example of God using circumstances in the life of a pagan is in Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. God used Hebrew slaves in his life. God used a fiery furnace. God used a dream. God used the pride of the king himself to eventually, in Daniel chapter 4, become a true worshiper of God. We also see in the book of Jonah that God used circumstances to bring the unbelieving sailors to become worshipers of himself. The list goes on and on. And I'm sure that in your life, you can say yourself, yes, before I became a child of God, there were certain means that God used in my life. There were circumstances, there were events, there were tragedies, perhaps, there were crises. But God used special circumstances to lead Naaman to worship him. Secondly, God used his word to lead Naaman to worship him. You see, this word proclaimed was authoritative. Why? Because it came from the prophet Elisha. The message from a true prophet of the Lord was very authoritative because he was declaring what God actually said. Elisha, even though the king of Israel said, "What? There's no way that I can heal this man." Elisha rebukes the king by saying, "Send him to me," so that he will know that there is a real prophet of God in Israel. His word was authoritative because he spoke on God's behalf, and his word was trustworthy. Because Elisha was a prophet, the promise that he gave to Naaman to go into the Jordan River and to wash seven times would come to pass. You see, God always fulfills his word and keeps his promises. And they are promises that you and I can hold on to as well. Naaman needed to believe God's word. But at this point, he was not entirely willing to do so. But his response, instead of trusting, he went away complaining in verses 11 and 12. He was wroth. He went away and said, "Behold, I thought he would surely come out and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper." I mean, aren't the waters, the Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? He was being a little prejudiced there. I mean, come on, the Jordan River, it's muddy, it's dirty, it's gross. All the waters in Israel are nothing compared to the Abana and the Pharpar. I thought I could just go into them and be washed. But what Elisha is pointing out to Naaman here is that he needed to put his faith in God's word. God said through Elisha the prophet, "You wash seven times, you'll be healed." Naaman needed to believe the words of the prophet. And God used his word to bring Naaman to the point where he would become a true worshiper of Yahweh. And thirdly, we see that God used special people to lead Naaman to worship him. In verses 13 and 14, "And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, My father." You see, these were special people to Naaman. They called him their father. They were very respectful toward him. They were concerned for his well-being. "Will you not do it? What do you have to lose," in essence, is what they're saying. "Go ahead, dip yourself in the Jordan River." God wanted Naaman to believe his word, and God used even these pagans themselves to persuade Naaman to go and dip in the Jordan River. So Naaman obeyed. He dipped himself seven times, and the Bible tells us that he was healed. His flesh was restored like a little child, and he was clean. In verses 15 to 16, we see Naaman's gratitude to God. He offered Elisha gifts. Elisha says, no. But then instead, Naaman requested 2 mule loads of dirt be given him so that he could always remember what God did for him. And he also promised that no longer am I going to be a worshiper of Hadad Rimmon, the god of Syria. Now I am going to only worship the Lord God himself. Although he did say to Elisha, "But there is one thing. Every so often when my master takes me, into the temple to worship Hadad Rimmon, I'm going to have to be there so he can lean on me. Now, please, I hope God will pardon me for this, because it's really not me worshiping Rimmon. I want to worship the true God." And Elisha says, "Go in peace." You see, the evidence was that Naaman was a changed man. Just as we read in 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We who are in Jesus are also new creatures and have been transformed into his image." Worship of God is the ultimate goal here. And we have a pagan who worshipped his own gods, the gods of Syria. And now he's worshiping the God of Israel, the one true God. The Bible tells us in John chapter 4, verses 23 to 24, that God is seeking for ones who will worship him in spirit and truth. The problem is that every one of us wanted to be our own kings, and we want to rule our own lives. The Bible tells us this is where sin entered into the world and man's relationship with God has been broken. But you see, God provided forgiveness from our sins and restoration through his son Jesus. God who became a man. Jesus never rebelled against God and always obeyed perfectly. The Bible says he stepped in our place and allowed the wrath of God and our sins to be placed on himself. And he died in a cruel Roman instrument of torture and death, a cross. He was buried, and 3 days later he rose again from the grave, defeating sin, defeating the devil, and defeating death itself. Folks, you too can become a worshiper of the one true God. We, when we place our faith in Jesus, like Naaman, though he didn't place his faith in Jesus, he placed his faith in Yahweh. He believed God's word, and he was healed, and he became a worshiper of God. We can stop running away from God now and turn away from our sinful rebellion and trust in the sacrifice that Jesus accomplished for us. So again, I ask you the question in closing here. Are you like Naaman? Are you in that stage before Naaman became a follower of Yahweh? Are you what would be considered a pagan? Are you away from God? Or are you a true worshiper of God? You know, this is a beautiful, beautiful record, 2 Kings chapter 5. Matter of fact, a friend of mine wrote a book called Serves You Right, Loving Those We Would Rather Hate. And the idea is that the little girl, the little slave girl, had every right to hate Naaman because he probably killed her family. And he stole her away and took her to a land that she didn't even know of or want to be in. And when she heard that he had leprosy, then the right or human response could have been, serves you right, you deserve what you get. But instead, she didn't. She loved Naaman enough to tell him he can be healed. Well, I ask you the question, if you're a worshiper of God, do you love people enough who do not know the true God of the Bible, the true God of Israel? Do you love them enough to tell them that God's wrath is upon them, and that if they do not turn away from their sins, the wrath of God will fall on their life, and they will one day be judged and cast into the lake of fire? This is why we are here, is so that we will love God, glorify God, and enjoy him forever, and in so doing, teach others and tell others how they too can be lovers of God and glorify God and enjoy him forever as well. You and I have a very special opportunity because of the cities that we live. You in New York City, we in Toronto, two very multi-ethnic cities full of millions of people who are on their way to hell every single second. That should wake us up. Dr. Bob the Third from Bob Jones University had a saying, the most sobering reality in the world today is that people are dying and going to hell today. Do you believe that? Naaman is one such example of an unbeliever, a pagan, somebody that we would want to avoid at all costs. Yet he, in God's mercy, became a worshiper of Yahweh. Let's be faithful to go out and tell people how they can become worshipers of God. Let's get busy and let's be motivated, because truly the most sobering reality in the world today is that people are dying and going to hell today. Father, this is a terrible truth, yet it is reality, that people are dying and going to hell today. Every second of the day, people die. And Lord, I pray that this reality would sink in our hearts and that we would be faithful witnesses that would get out there and tell people how they can be set free, like Naaman, of all people, the Syrian. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.